All right, guys, we're back to talk about this UFC topic. We have two black men who are now in the midst of an argument with a white guy over who is the real African champion. And we're going to break it down. Let's talk about it. All right, guys, before we get into today's show, please like and subscribe. We want as many people to find this channel as possible, even when we're talking about things that we are not the most well-versed in. And that's going to be today's topic. Now, I'm your host, Amla Epinobi. Taylor's here in Nashville.
Hey.
And Cam is in the producer's bay.
What's up?
In the producer's bay.
What's up, guys?
We always have somebody different in the producer's bay. It's Cam, it's Scott, it's Kobe. We're all over the place. Now, today we're going to be talking about UFC. I made a video on this subject in particular, and you'll notice it's no longer on the YouTube channel because, you know, full disclosure, I messed up in a few things in this video when I originally put it out. One, I don't think I stated my opinion as well as I possibly could have. I also said nation instead of continent a few times. Also said ring instead of octagon. So all of these mistakes, hopefully, if we lay them out in the beginning of the video, won't happen in this live.
Team should be fired for failing to catch these mistakes.
Right. A lot of people watched this video before it went out, but that's okay. But it's no longer on this channel. I think if you go to PragerU's website, you could still watch it, but we're going to go over everything here today. Really, the bat signal went out for me because this is more of a cultural discussion. It's a discussion that brings up race and ethnicity. It's a discussion that brings up, you know, where you live and what you're connected to, who's allowed to call themselves African. So we're going to talk about it today because you guys overwhelmingly voted in our last live that you wanted to see this video redone and this discussion had again. So we're going to lay out everything that is happening for the non-UFC watchers. I don't really watch UFC all that much. I'll say like every time there's a UFC fight night, I maybe see a fight or two, and it's normally over the shoulder of my boyfriend. Taylor doesn't really watch UFC, and then Cam says he watches it when he's drunk.
Can I say, guys?
What can you say? It's a good bit of drunk entertainment. So we're going to get into this and break it down for those of you who don't watch it. And those of you who do, you might be familiar with this. So there's a South African fighter by the name of Dricus du Plessis. And I hope I'm saying his name correctly. This is what Dricus looks like. Look at that smiley young man here. And he's fighting on behalf of South Africa. Now, he was recently asked what it would mean to be an African champion who would be bringing the belt back to the continent, because South Africa is where he resides and where he trains. And this is where the controversy begins when he answers this question. So let's listen to his answer.
Obviously, this time last year, three African champions. That has obviously changed. Is it a little bum? Does it bum you out? There's not as much gold potentially going back the next time they go? Or do you see this as an opportunity? Now you do get to be the guy if and when they show up to Africa.
Well, I mean, did those belts ever go to Africa? As far as I know, it came to America and New Zealand. I'm going to take a belt to Africa. I'm the African fighter in the UFC. Myself and Cameron, we breathe the African air. We wake up in Africa every day. We train in Africa. We're African born. We're African raised. We still reside in Africa. We train out of Africa. That's an African champion, and that's who I'll be.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was the answer. I mean, no red flags raised for me. I think maybe where somebody's ears perked up was when the word real was used. But the argument that he's laying out is that, you know, when I win this belt, the belt is actually going back to the continent of Africa, and that's where it will be going, and that's where it will reside, because that is where I reside, that is where I train, that is, you know, I'm fighting on behalf of Africa and South Africa in particular. Now, I think some ears also perked up because Dricus du Plessis is a white man. Now, he doesn't bring race into the conversation here. He is purely talking about geographic location. That's where he lives. That's where he trains. He's fighting on behalf of where he lives and trains, and that's where the belt is going. That's what, to him, constitutes an African champion. So race was not brought up in his discussion of the topic. And based on those metrics, to me, makes a lot of sense. I didn't hear anything wrong. I didn't hear anything off-putting. But now we have two fighters who have entered the conversation. One is Kamaru Usman, who is a black Nigerian-born fighter, but who resides and trains in America. And two, Israel Adesanya, also a Nigerian-born fighter who resides in New Zealand and also often refers to himself as Kiwi and being a New Zealander. So they have entered the discussion and were apparently put off by the fact that he stated that he would be an African champion and gave those metrics for what it means, the belt returning back to the continent of Africa. Now, there is an element, I think, of stoking, you know, a fire here and creating controversy where there maybe is none, because both of these fighters, I believe, have the possibility of fighting Dricus du Plessis in the future. And Israel Adesanya has made it very apparent in a video that we will get to later that he intends on fighting Dricus du Plessis. And he is very excited, which we'll get into in that video as we show it. But here is Kamaru Usman, again, Nigerian-born, but resides in America, trains in America.
And this question is very pertinent because you're the first African UFC champion. Did you see Dricus, did you hear Dricus du Plessis, that's a difficult name to pronounce, his comments about being the African fighter in the UFC?
Oh, I actually saw that. I think it's this week or last week,
And I'll pause. I see some comments about Francis Ngannou. I'm not forgetting him. He just has not, you know, been so open in his commentary about this particular subject and wasn't, in my opinion, doesn't seem to be triggered by what was said by Dricus du Plessis. That's why we're just going to talk about Kamaru Usman and Israel Adesanya.
One of my former teammates sent it to me. They're trying to be messy, of course. I saw it, and the thing about me is just I try not to be quick to jump on someone and really kill them for those things. I'm not part of this cancel culture.
And I like that he said he's not one to like jump on somebody over these things and he doesn't want to be a part of cancel culture. But I'm also not hearing anything that's like a cancelable offense in what he said. And race is going to come up later, and it's not going to be Kamaru Usman who necessarily brings it up, although it might be insinuated that that's the framework through which he's looking at this issue. But nothing was cancelable, in my opinion, of what he said. If you're winning a belt, and that's the belt that goes back to the continent of Africa, then maybe you're the African champion. Now, I'm not going to argue who's first, who's third, who's fourth, whatever. I wouldn't even begin to know the history of these fighters and, you know, where these things are actually going and who identifies as what. But he does have a point in saying, my belt is going back, theirs is going to America and New Zealand. And he doesn't mention race.
But though I understand what he's trying to say, but the one thing that I think he's failing to realize is, you know, just because I go to China and my parents are in China and I'm raised in China, that doesn't make me more Chinese than the people from China. That doesn't make me more Chinese. And so just because you went over to South Africa and you're raised there, that doesn't make you African. So, you know, I would say to him, it's just, you know, try to be a little bit more careful with what you say.
Now, this is where I'm thinking that, you know, race is being brought into the discussion here. Because in America, we would say if you're in America as a child, especially if you're born in America, regardless of what skin color you are, you're born here, raised here, trained here, fight here, you'd be an American fighter. And we would say, yeah, you've been immersed in American culture. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. You're an American. And I imagine we would view people born in other countries or raised in other countries very similarly. Like let's say my background, my father is Nigerian, right? So technically I could say I am Nigerian. And I've discussed being Nigerian in other videos. But if you asked me, you know, who I am, America would be my answer because I was born in America, raised in America. I've never been to Nigeria. I've never seen Nigeria. The only attachment that I have is my father and, you know, some food, some music, movies that we would watch at his house and things like that. But never actually having been to Africa or Nigeria, my deepest connection is felt with America. Now, you can't throw that onto other people like Kamaru Usman and Israel Adesanya, but they were in Nigeria as children, and presumably in a space that mostly they don't remember because they were young kids when they moved to America and New Zealand. So to say that you can't like move into a country and be raised there and have the majority of your life there, you're still, you know, you're still not Chinese or you're still not American or you're still not New Zealander, that would be wrong in my opinion and in my framework of looking at where people live. Do you guys, is that what you would think? That's what I would think. You would still be American.
Of course. He also
said, oh, go ahead, Cam.
Oh, sorry, Taylor.
He
never said that because he was born and raised in South Africa, he's more African than the other people. And that's what that guy said. But he, the white guy never said that.
Right.
He just said that he's African because he was born there. And raised there, right? Which presumably would make you African.
Right.
Yeah, just on its face, it's a statement of fact. And also, I thought someone in the chat, Dr. Dahomey, said, are black people who are raised in Europe Europeans? And it's interesting, like you say, Amala, that this is a one-way street. And, you know, a white person who's raised in Africa is somehow inherently less African. But a black person who is born and raised in Europe, we have no problem calling them European. And like you, I've heard you say before, why do we feel like we have to protect black people? Or why do we feel like, you know, black people need that sort of hedge from like we feel bad for them or something, to where we can't just put both on equal footing. So we have to say, no, the white person going to the homeland of Africa is wrong, but the African person going to the European homeland is right. It's the same thing, no matter how you slice it.
Right. And it just like other fighters to bring up here, Leon Edwards, who we'll show here, is noted as an English fighter. Leon Edwards, I believe, was born in Jamaica and then moved to the UK, and that's where he resides. He trains, he fights on behalf of the UK. Nobody ever has a problem referring to him as an English fighter. And I've never heard an argument saying that, oh, he's not a real English fighter or something like that. It just was never a peep about that. But now we're having this argument, which just leads me to believe that race is becoming a factor in this. We're going to get back to Kamaru Usman's comments.
And how you say it, because you know, that's the thing nowadays, is these younger guys and this newer guys that get up here and they just talk. They just, you know, because they want to appeal to the fans, appeal to the people. But try to be more mindful, because 20 years from now, that's not going to age well.
And I know you said you like to take stock of things and you don't jump on them straight away. But what was your initial reaction after hearing that? Because it's quite jarring.
It was funny.
Jarring? What is jarring about that? I don't understand. Jarring? It just feels like a mountain is being made out of a molehill here.
Because I've actually trained with the guy. So it's like, bruh, you know how I get down. You know, if it's one of those type of situations, you know how I get down. But, you know, it was never, it's nothing like that. It's after, you know, that first immediate like, hey, are you serious? Because it sounded personal. Well, because he took direct shots, you know, he mentioned, you know, myself and Israel Adesanya, I believe. And it was like, bro, I actually kind of know you. And so, you know, I think it was just, you know, heat of the moment. He got up there, he's excited. He just got a big win and he was just running off. But at the end of the day, you know, the wiser side of me is like, okay, I understand what he was trying to say, but bro, that doesn't make you more African.
Thank you.
I don't know. It just seems like it's not an argument here. I just don't know what's going on. But here's another person who entered the conversation, and that is Israel Adesanya. So we'll cover the two fighters, then we'll get to Ariel Helwani. Israel Adesanya initially took a far more aggressive stance on the matter than Kamaru Usman, stating, quote, and language for those of you who watching who don't like language, quote, I want to whoop his ass so bad, Adesanya said, quote, I'll remind you, because you got to choose your words wisely when you speak on people that have come before you, people that paved the way for you. I pray to God he keeps winning. I will gladly drag his carcass across South Africa. What is going on? What is with all the anger? I don't understand where the anger is coming from in this case. And again, it could be to fan the flames of a possible fight down the line, and we will talk about that. But where is the anger coming from, if not some place of racial animosity for him saying it? Because he never really invalidated the African ancestry or, descendancy of the two fighters. All he said is your belt would be going back to New Zealand, Adesanya, and your belt will be going back to America, Usman, and mine will be going back to Africa. So who's an African fighter in that sense? It's not invalidating anybody, in my opinion. Now, Ariel Helwani gets in on this. He often interviews MMA fighters in the MMA Hour, and he had Dricus Du Plessis on his show, and he is the one who begins to inject race into the narrative here. Now, full disclaimer and full disclosure, I do not watch a lot of Ariel Helwani's videos. In fact, this is the second Ariel Helwani video I've watched. I only watch really anything that has to do with the UFC, like I said, over my boyfriend's shoulder, or if the bat signal goes out and there's some sort of cultural relevance to, the woke arguments that we're having right now. The last time I watched Ariel Helwani was a video interview for the MMA Hour that he did with Jamal Hill after the video of, what's his name? The Dana White. When Dana White got into an altercation with his wife, the wife slapped Dana White first and hit him first. Dana White slaps the wife back. So this goes viral. How dare Dana White hit his wife? And Jamal Hill came out and said, you know what? Like, nobody should hit anybody. That was just his stance. A very clear cut. Nobody should hit anybody. And then Ariel Helwani had Jamal Hill on his show and started spinning his words and basically insinuating that he was pro hitting women. And I think at one point, even in the interview, and said, like, you know what? Well, I'm personally against hitting women. You know, I don't know about you, which was not at all what Jamal Hill said. All he said is, I don't think anybody should hit anybody. That's it. So he spun some words there. Now we're in the Dricus Du Plessis interview, and he begins the narrative of racial tension and division.
Do you understand why this may have rubbed some people, including Kamaru and Israel, who we'll get to in a moment, the wrong way, given the history between whites and blacks in Africa?
What?
Well, to bring color into it, for me, is the most ridiculous thing ever. That is the one thing that, from this whole thing, that really pisses me off, to be honest, is that color was brought into it. I've never even mentioned color because it makes absolutely no difference to me. And to every single person that I know, it makes absolutely no difference. Color is not, it's not the topic of discussion. And if anybody is bringing in color, if is bringing in the fact that I'm white or they are black or any form of race in any way, that is, to me, absolutely ridiculous.
And it is absolutely ridiculous. And it's funny because the person who brought race into it is actually Ariel Helwani, but we won't hark on that too much. So he's saying, I didn't mention anything about color. It's not like he went up there and, like, you know, held up apartheid and said that he was in support of, he was supporting that or something like that, or that he was a real African because he's white and then maybe, and they're not, or he, anything that had to do with race whatsoever. And then this narrative is injected of, couldn't you see how that might upset people of a black skin tone, you saying this about yourself and being an African champ? No, because that's not what he said. Of course, anybody can misconstrue words and switch things up, but he never said anything about race or insinuated that his race had anything to do with the discussion. But now it's been shifted into that. And the poor guy, all he said was, my belt is going back to Africa. That's all he said. So, I mean, maybe he's benefiting from this with, like, press, and maybe he himself made that statement to start a controversy over this and to create and drum up more intrigue for a fight himself. Maybe that's what he did. But I don't think he would be anticipating all of this conversation being stoked up in the wake of that. So we go on to Israel Adesanya recently doing a podcast with, I believe, his brother. And the topic, again, of Dricus du Plessis comes up and the real African champion comes up. And here's what Israel Adesanya had to say. And again, language warning, he does get into it.
I never ever did that to him. I never discredited him as an African. I just, okay, there you are, cool. You want to make a fight, cool. But the fact that as a fucking cracker to tell me who the fuck I am, that pissed me off. And that's why he's my next fight. Because I don't want to fight anyone else. That this one pisses me off. I like this fight. I was, even Joey, at one point, you replayed the clip. This one's got an angry look on his face.
Izzy has an angry look on his face.
He does.
I can use my anger. Never use your anger in an emotional way. You can use your anger like I use in the Brunson fight, like I use in the Costa fight. You can use your anger to fuel you and be deadly. And I tried to do it in South Africa, but apparently it might not work. But again, I told Dana, you guys beat COVID, you know, before any other any big, you know, sporting, well, not agency, any sporting league got on the fucking field or on the court. You guys did that. You can do anything. I still believe they can. I want to do it in South Africa or somewhere in Africa. But he thinks they're going to have his back. It's only the product of him that's going to have his back. But he doesn't understand, like, who I am. And like I said, he's creating division. I don't like that.
He's creating division? He's creating division? You just called him an effing cracker. I don't even know if I can say that on YouTube. I'm sure I can, because you can say anything against white people on YouTube, right? It's fair game. You can be racist towards white people all you want, and it doesn't matter. So I guess I can say cracker on YouTube. So he's stoking division? That's all I want to ask. And I mean, it does really beg the question. We're going to continue watching here. Why so much anger? Like, Kamaru Usman at least was like, oh, you know, I think he should read up a little bit, and I think he should, like, know more before he says things, and, you know, think about who's, you know, African and blah, blah, blah. Okay, at least very calmly communicated that. Why is he like, I really want to, you know, fight him, and I hope I, you know, beat his ass in South Africa, and I'm going to drag his carcass around South Africa? It's giving insecure. It's giving a little bit of insecurity. I mean, I don't want to ascribe that to you, but that's what it's sounding like. Why? So, you know, we talk about this. We did a video that kind of like went a little bit viral about like short kings, short men. And when you meet a short guy and he's like, oh, I'm so short and women discriminate against me and they don't want to date me and that sucks. And, you know, we need a movement for short men or whatever. So there's that type of guy. And then there's the guy who's like, yeah, I'm short. What about it? Doesn't mean anything. I don't have to overcompensate. I don't have to do anything. I'm short. That's just the way I was born and that's the way that I grew. And then it's like, okay, which one seems maybe a little insecure about their position in the world and which one seems very sound and solidified in who they are? And which energy did this video just give you? And we're going to continue watching. Just think about that.
Well, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do
that. It's already getting dark.
Yeah, don't worry, no. Trust me, like, you understand, I'm here now. I'm gonna fuck this guy up. I'm gonna torture this guy.
Oh yeah, I know.
But no. I'm gonna torture this guy. No,
trust me, I understand.
All right, I'm stopping. I'm getting done. Yeah. No, it's not even like I'm angry, but I just like, I know when I show up, I'm gonna torture this guy.
Yeah, and especially when someone does shit like that.
Bro, I'm gonna do it. Like, my ancestors are gonna Yeah.
You're going to beat him till he's black?
Yeah, on that.
Did you hear that? He said, you're going to beat him till he's black?
He'd be a real African then.
He would be a real African then. So there you go. There's the true cards being shown there and what everybody's trying to play at, okay? So again, this could be just, you know, fanning the flames of a future fight, which is probably going to happen, considering I think they're both in the same weight division for the UFC, so it's probably going to happen. But I want to beat him till he's black, or do you want to beat him till he's black, his brother said, and he says he'd be a real African then. So that's really what's falling behind this. I mean, there it is exposed. Black people are real Africans. White people born and raised in South Africa don't constitute real Africans. And again, what energy, which of the short king energies did you just feel from that video? I'm gonna leave it up to you to decide which one you got from that. But there's a strong sense of anger. And if you were somebody who truly just stood by your sense of self and who you believed you were, why would you be so angry? And why do you feel the need? Not only does he want to fight Dricus du Plessis, but he's like, I want to make it in South Africa. I want it to be somewhere in Africa. And that might not work out. And it sounds to me like you want to go further to prove, like you have some sort of hard-held grudge that you want it to be in Africa to just demolish this guy in front of African people. And he's got Africa, you know, tattooed on him and stuff. I don't know. And it's so interesting that this is a particular issue that he's so heated about, because this video exists on the internet. This is Israel Adesanya, I imagined a few years back, talking about his relationship with China.
Black outside, China inside. I am Chinese. I'm the Black Dragon.
Hi.
Did you hear that? I'm trying to maintain neutrality. He said black outside, Chinese inside. And I'm the, what do you say, the Black Dragon or something like that? Yeah. And there's a bunch of videos on the internet that exist of Israel Adesanya calling himself Chinese. So I just don't know where this is coming from, because he's held different stances on whether or not he is African. He quite literally just said black on the outside, sort of like relinquishing his African identity, and he does so throughout this video. You guys can check it out. Relinquishing this identity that you claim towards Africa, but now is so strongly holding this belief that he's African, and it's not to invalidate that belief, but so strongly holding it that he wants to drag somebody's carcass across South Africa. Any thoughts, Taylor? I can see you smiling.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he's got something of an identity crisis kind of going on. Do you think it's the insecurities based around, like, he doesn't feel like a true African because he moved away? And so that's like, this hit a very soft spot or trigger point for him that's making him overreact in this way. And just the added weirdness of the commentary about China, just, it's like, this guy is having issues with just being comfortable with himself and where he's from, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like, it just sounds like it. I mean, that's just the vibe that it yeah. gives off, that there is some sort of deeply held insecurity about where you're from, and a special insecurity in having a white man challenge that because of your views on race. And you could argue that maybe Kamaru Usman doesn't have those same views of race. You would have to kind of infer that from what he said, but there's no inferring from what Israel Adesanya just said. I mean, his brother saying, let's you beat him till he's black and that would make him a real African, says exactly how he feels. And let's not forget, twice in that video, I didn't show the second time that he said it, twice in that video, he refers to Dricus du Plessis as a cracker. Is that acceptable? I have not yet heard of another UFC fighter referring to any other UFC fighter as a racial derogatory slur. And that is exactly what the word cracker is. Now, it's maybe in no way equivalent to the N-word or anything like that. But just imagine any other racial slur being hurled at any other person in any other context. Doesn't even have to be in the context of UFC. Would that be acceptable? It's quite literally open face racism. It was just bold face racism that you just heard, and it's going to be socially acceptable. I do want to know if he's going to appear on MMA Hour and be questioned about his blatant racism, because Dricus du Plessis had to go through being asked whether or not he's fueling racial divide over something completely innocuous that he said. This is direct calling somebody a cracker. And are you not going to be brought to task for that? And I wanted to look into this because I was like, you know what? The only other time I've heard the word cracker in my life is actually from my grandfather, who is white, referring to himself as a Florida cracker. So I'm like, okay, obviously there has been some different iterations of this term and people view it very differently. Some people use it to refer to themselves. Others use it as a clearly racially derogatory slur. So I looked into some of this, and it says that cracker is an old standby of Anglo insults that was first noted in the mid-18th century, making it older than the United States itself. It was used to refer to poor whites, particularly those inhabiting the frontier regions of Maryland, Virginia, and Georgia. It is suspected that it was a shortened version of whipcracker, since the manual labor that they did involved driving livestock with a whip, not to mention other brutal arenas where those skills were employed. And it actually goes back even further than that iteration of the word to be used as another slur used towards Celtic immigrants, where they were referred to as crackers. And it's sort of a term used to, I guess, accuse somebody of being ill-mannered, unruly, and then it took on other iterations of being a word that you use to call somebody a white bigot or a white racist, which seems to be the context that it's being used in. But it does say that there was apparently a time in history where white people, like my grandfather, would have referred to themselves personally as crackers, and it was sort of taking back the word, which is so interesting because that's exactly what happened with the N-word, because now black people refer to themselves as the N-word. There was a taking back of the word to sort of claim it as something that you could be proud of rather than something that people could use to refer to you in a derogatory manner, much like Israel Adesanya just did to Dricus du Plessis. Just want that on the record. And yeah,
it is so interesting. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Well, just that Dricus, you know, made a statement about bringing the championship belt back to Africa, did not invoke race in his statement. And then the media calls him to account for the question of racism over his statement, presumably just because he's white. And then Israel, on the other side, directly invokes race, uses a racial slur against Dricus. And where's the media on that? Where's any outrage? Where's any questioning of it? And it just shows, again, sort of the asymmetry of our modern thinking around whether they intended for it to be or not. It shows the asymmetry of modern thinking around race and these power dynamics. We're not looking at these questions issues through the lens of is racial slurs, discriminated against someone on the basis of their skin color, right or wrong. It's wrong. Okay, let's hold the people who do that accountable. We're not doing that. We don't think in terms of those principles anymore that transcend race. Instead, we're looking at it through, and I always invoke it, but the sort of Marxist power dynamics lens of, oh, because of the history of colonialism and all this stuff, it's justified for this person who's, you know, more deeper on the oppressed scale to use racism against this person because of the perpetrations of history and all this stuff. And it's crazy how many places this shows up in our culture. It shows up in the TikToks we react to and in headlines and even in sports. And it's just so tiresome, but it is evidence to me that this ideology has just been creeping into our culture and into even global culture. Because this isn't even an American story per se, but, that we've replaced the desire to, you know, build our morality on principles that all people are equal under God, and or all people just have innate equality, and that racism is bad because racism is bad. And now it's like, oh, well, it's okay if this group does it, and it's okay if not. And the media just kind of ignores it. We don't have enough teeth in our, you know, cultural resistance against actual racism to where we can call it out where we see it, no matter who's perpetrating it. It's all dependent on our outrage is dependent on the skin color of the person perpetrating it, which is just wrong.
Right. And you can feel it in the words of Israel Adesanya, which we didn't fully go into, because he talks about how Dricus du Plessis is, I think, quote, product of colonialism. That's what he says. And he continuously, in his argument for why he wants to fight him and why he wants to, you know, beat him until he's black or whatever, says, you know, my ancestors, and he sort of balls up his fist and he says my ancestors. I get that people have a deep connection to their ancestry and especially their struggles. I think there's been no greater example of that than how a lot of black Americans talk about the history of slavery and their ancestors. But at what point, like how many hundreds of years do we go before you and the people who live amongst you in the present are separated from that? Why is Dricus du Plessis, who is a white man who has seemingly never committed an outright act of racism, was not pushing apartheid in South Africa against the black people living there, why is colonialism and my ancestors being invoked in a situation that is happening current in the present? He has nothing to do with what his ancestors did. And frankly, Israel Adesanya has nothing to do with what his ancestors did in their time or what they went through in their time. Although you might feel a deep connection and it should be talked about, absolutely 100%, these two things are very different. So you can feel that there is this maybe an energy of, because of what Black people went through in the past, this is why I have this right to call him a cracker in the present. This is why I have my claim in the present. And none of this, to me, is saying that any of them are not African. This is not what this video is for, to say this one's not African, this one's not African, he's the real, he's more, whatever. That's not what this video is for. It's just to say it's so interesting how a seemingly innocuous comment about how the belt is going to return to the continent is being turned into something like this. And to me, it makes absolutely no sense. So I like to think it's just to drum up intrigue for a fight, but it almost feels like it's deeper than that. It almost feels like we've hit a little chink in the armor as far as the racial divide goes. And it's interesting that the heat of this fight is not an American one. Israel Adesanya is from New Zealand, and that is where he resides, and Dricus du Plessis is from South Africa. So this is like a woke argument that we're having right now that has nothing to do with America, technically. Very interesting. I think that sums up my thoughts. Do you guys have any other notes, tidbits, two cents?
I think there's something like the culture of the UFC is already very like talk crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you watch anything with Conor McGregor, like their culture is already like super talk crap to each other at the weigh-ins and stuff like that, and then beat the crap out of each other, and then it's fine after.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it does show the bias of the media and the way that they're kind of handling it, and sort of lighting him on fire for saying that he would be an African champion and calling it racist or whatever, and then not lighting Israel on fire for literally saying he's going to kill him and drag his carcass across Africa. Like, I don't know. One of those things is probably like worse than the other one. Like,
yeah. But. Yeah. One of those things is probably worse than the other, especially we can't call it the C word, especially him saying cracker. And that was 5 days ago. That video went out, I believe 5 days ago, calling him a cracker twice went out. I'm waiting. Maybe there is going to be an interview where this is brought up and he's asked directly, why would you use a term like that? And why did you feel the need to refer to him that way? Hasn't happened yet to my knowledge, but as soon as it does, I will watch and I want to see what his response is. Because to me, it's blatantly racist. That's it. Those are my thoughts on it. We're going to get into super chats. And I'm sure you all have many to say. Of much to say on this topic. I'm glad we redid this and sort of got everything out, because I think the first video was like 10 minutes or so, and this was a 35 minute discussion, so we got more into the weeds.
Definitely more to unpack, so, and we'll keep following this story as it develops and be the honest media. Just a few super chats today. You guys kept us for like an hour Friday, so I guess you're having mercy on us today. No, we love it. We love hearing your thoughts. Here is the first one from today. From Chris May, says, running from the left. So glad I found you. We absolutely need more voices. People don't realize how wild it's gotten.
It is a little wild. Every day, more and more.
Indeed. Thank you for a super chat. EV with the Ohio State icon says, I think what makes it problematic is the quote unquote real African part. They mm-hmm. all were born in Africa and have the right to claim it. Love your content, by the way.
Right. That's the thing. I think that from that first initial video, the only word that I feel like could be taken to make that argument is the fact that he said real. But then you also have, I think, this spectrum where you could make an assessment of the belts are not going back to Africa. I don't know about Francis Ngannou, as I said before. So I think that's also a part of the discussion and a very valid point to bring up. Now, I'm not saying that's my metric for deciding whether or not someone's African. And as I said, they all have a claim, having been born in Nigeria, to say African. But really, who are you fighting on behalf of? There could be how, some UFC fighters just claim multiple territories. Is that the way it goes moving forward, that they claim Africa and New Zealand and I guess China too sometimes? But yeah, I mean, how many how many flags, or do you just pick the flag that means the most to you, and that's what, that's who you're fighting on behalf of? I don't know how it works.
Sup, my dude, says he was born and raised in the continent of Africa, thus he is African, just like I'm from hell because I was born in Washington, D.C.
From hell?
Wow.
That's good.
But, it, you know, it should be on its face, simple as that, right? You're born from place X, I am X-ican.
Right.
And then the last super chat I see is Miss Loliton with no message and just gave the super chat. So thank you very much. And that is it for today.
Perfect. We're all summed up, guys. Leave your comments down below because I know there's a lot of back and forth on this. Many of you are like, Kamaru Usman and Israel Adesanya got it 100% right because Dricus Duplessis used the phrase real African champion. I don't see this as being something that needs to be made into the proportion that it's been made into, and I do think he has some valid points in talking about where that belt is going and the fact that he's, you know, actually, I think he said living and breathing African air. And again, it's a personal thing, right? If you're born somewhere different than where you reside, and I guess technically where you were raised, I guess the connection that you feel is up to you. But I'm thinking, like, if I was 8 years old and moved from a different continent, yeah, you might have a few memories, right? You were 8 years old. You'll have a few years worth of memories of that place. But the majority of your life is being spent in the new place and in the new culture. That's not to invalidate them. It's just a fact. Oh, we're done with Super Chats.
I was waiting for another Super Chat.
I was like, oh, where's the next Super Chat? Guys, that is it. That's all I have to say on this subject matter. As always, leave your comments down below, and we encourage healthy debate in the comments, as I'm sure there is much to say. We don't normally talk about UFC on this channel, and we probably won't again. I mean, unless another cultural controversy pops up, then I'll be there to try to learn everything that's going on and all the backgrounds of everybody and the difference between saying nation and continent before the next video comes out. Leave your comments down below. Have the fun debate. Oh, we got another super chat from Nick Tyler really quickly. I'll be asking for your Derby horse winner pick on Wednesday. I will miss Friday's show because I will be at work. Okay, Nick, we look forward to that on Wednesday's show. Can't wait to hear from you. And as always, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and we post videos every single day, so don't miss out. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a young woman who accused her Uber driver of racism and posted that video on the internet, and the internet did not agree. So we'll be getting to that. One last super chat from Gary, who says, race and nationality is two different things. One guy means he's African because he's born there, but his race isn't African. The other guy is talking about his race. Exactly. And that's where we got into the conversation of race being brought into a discussion that I don't think was technically about that. But you guys can, of course, watch the rest of the video. Give me your thoughts. Zero Miedo says, are you an MMA fan? Not technically. No, I don't. I do not qualify as an MMA fan. Just when these sorts of things come up, I look into it. Guys.
You watch enough to be considered a real MMA fan.
I don't think so. I don't know. You could ask me the most basic question, and I would not have an answer for you. I called the Octagon the ring, so that should be evidence enough that I am not.
I mean, having heard you talk about other sports, I think your knowledge in UFC by comparison is much
the most expansive,
much grander.
Yeah,
we did get another super chat from Joe, which from the currency is PLN. Someone tell me what that is. I'm always curious about what PLN would be. Hello, Amla. I just want to thank you for touching that topic. Czech Slavs, slavery my ancestors, sold to Prague and Kiev, from there to Abyssinian Caliphate by Jewish merchants. Take care.
Oh my gosh.
That was like the most micro history lesson I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that, I guess. And Dixon Butts is here, of course. He says, oh no, I'm late. And very late, Dixon Butts, because we are ending the show right at this very moment. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with that fiery video. Can't wait to see you guys.